Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Is anybody brave enough to stand with me that Michigan is going to be in this football game? The people are not happy with the Costa lock. One says, Jim, you're an effing dumbass. I hope Jimmy suspends you with that dumbass, ridiculous Costa lock. I thought they were wall-eyed. And another says, all caps, OMG, Costa locked my Wolverines. Auger in Grand Rapids. This text says John picked Ohio State, Michigan State, and Oklahoma in the same pick segment. Is he going to have a job at the end of the day? And someone throws in some picks that they like this weekend. Gibbs anytime touchdown, St. Brown anytime touchdown, and the Lions minus a million.
So if the Costa lock doesn't come through, he's going to jinx Michigan? Who looked like ass against Western last week?
Yeah, well, it'd be my fault.
Oh, no, they're going to get pounded by Oklahoma. We're going to put that on the Costa lock?
Well, I want to know if anybody is brave enough to stand with me and say, you know what, I think he's making some sense.
Bravery is one way to put it. I'm not sure I would put it as bravery.
Let's say courageous, dumb, exemplary.
Stupid, reckless.
A free thinker.
Can't see. I mean, maybe you need glasses. I was going to ask that question earlier because I came in here with a new hat. Ken came in, gave me a new hat, and you instantly were like, is that a Steelers hat?
I didn't say Steelers. I said Pittsburgh.
It has an old English G on it and a block letter M.
So I can't see the block letter M from where I'm sitting. And the bill looked more black than blue. So I thought it was like one of these weird, like, retro crossover.
Yeah. Heather and I were looking at each other like, what are these two dudes talking about?
Greg
because
was
Greg
me.
Was in the same category. I'm like, what?
When I see the block M, it all kind of ties together.
But my the big picture is I don't know what game you were watching last week when you're picking Michigan to beat Oklahoma.
I'm not basing it off of what I watched week one. I think week one is a liar in sports. And if you overreact to week one, you are going to set yourself up to look foolish.
I hope that you're right, except for the track record of the Costa Lock. Does us no favors.
Yeah. Greg, do you think, well, you picked Oklahoma. Yes. Don't think this is going to be close.
I do not know. I mean, it'll be close at the beginning only because the game starts out 0-0.
0-0, yes.
Michigan was tied once today
when
they kicked off. I just wonder how it's going to go down where you have a week like this, where you shouldn't have won, you're not any good, your coach is Monty Williams, like we got those texts this week, Bryce is going to get benched, it's imminent, the sky is falling at Michigan. Maybe it is. Like I said, I'm willing to look stupid, but is there an alternate world where
you show up every day?
But is there a world where this team does get in a foxhole and get back to who they are and run the ball and minimize possessions and suddenly a home team backed into a corner rallies?
Do I think the offensive line is what we saw last week? If we were only going off of 1 week, then you would have to say yes. This is many of the components on that offensive line, in fact, all of them, were guys that were playing last year, and they did rip off with Justice Haynes a 75-yard run against the Sooners. Mm-hmm. And there were times at the beginning of last year where they had two 100-yard rushers in the same game. Now, Justice Haynes is no longer here, but I think Savion Hyder is an upgrade over Justice Haynes. We didn't get a chance to see that because the offensive line played poorly.
But you tell me, having been in an offensive line room after a poor performance, those guys take that personally.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't move a Mac D line? We put extra beef on the field, and you couldn't move Mid-American Conference players? I'm sure they have had it lit into them this week on that offensive line.
There's no question they have. And I mean, you can go around and talk about all the things that went wrong. And sometimes, you know, like especially when you're talking about offense, that's why I think football is the ultimate team game. You offensively, you could have 10 guys doing all the right things at a high level. Not saying that was the case, but you could, and have one guy not make a block or be in the wrong spot or do the wrong thing, and it looks like absolute trash. And a lot of times there were guys, you know, 8 or 9 guys, 10 guys doing the right thing, one guy not. And they were taking turns all the way down the line, inside, outside, and in the backfield. So, yes, can it look better? Do I expect it to look better? Yes.
Because I think that was maybe your biggest surprise. The idea
that
Bryce struggled is not all that surprising if you watched him last year. But then I would make the case then, can they help their young quarterback by being the team you thought they were going to be 2 weeks ago?
Yes, but is that, what even at their best, was that going to be good enough to beat Oklahoma?
Hang in. I got 4.5 points. Putting that in the back pocket.
Plenty of Michigan quarterbacks have gone 12 of 22 for 173 yards and a touchdown in their debut against a MAC school and just looked average, quote unquote. What's the difference is, they had the running game to go to. They ran over teams for 250 yards, and they'd win 34-7.
Right. Now, history does play a factor in this, and I'm talking about the history of offensive coordinator Jason Beck at New Mexico, one of the top five teams in rushing the ball in the country. Now, okay, you say New Mexico, fine. At Utah last year, it was a top 10 rushing attack, over 245 yards per game.
Now we're talking.
All right. So history does say, but that was at New Mexico and it was at Utah. It wasn't in the Big Ten. It wasn't at Michigan. It wasn't against Oklahoma. Like, there are some things that lend you to believe that the performance will be better. And I sure as hell hope it is.
Bryce Underwood, talking about his job security at Michigan, gave an answer.
He did answer the question.
Wouldn't call it a good answer, but I would call it an answer.
Maybe the least desirable answer.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't tell the reporter to like bleep himself, but you know, other than that, it's not what you want to hear from your quarterback who is challenged by his head coach this week. This was Bryce Underwood on his quarterback's job security. John, what's your reaction to his reaction?
There's no way he didn't know about that. There's no way. And okay, if he's not on social media, maybe he didn't see it that way. I 100% believe, I don't know this to be fact, but I believe if a coach is going to go out there and say that, especially the one that of Kyle Whittingham, who has been around college football for a long time, it's not his first time dealing with the 18 to 22 year old quarterback, that he's had a conversation with him as well.
Right. You don't just say that at a podium. You would say it privately. You'd go, hey, Bryce, you know, here's some things from the game that need to be better, and
yeah,
and you're going to need to play better.
And I don't know if it entailed, hey, you need to play better, or we're going to make a change in the next week. I doubt it was that blunt.
I doubt it would be, too.
But I think there was probably a conversation had.
Was there a tough love conversation?
On the flip side, too, walking to the podium, I've got to believe that somebody said, here are some possible questions that you may face.
Well, that ultimately is the job of team media relations people is to, hey, just so you know, there's this big thing in the news. You're going to get asked about it. Hey, the thing is, your coach said this about you. I can guarantee you're going to get asked about it.
And here are some things to think about when you respond.
Right.
But to nobody's going to give them the answer.
If he didn't see it on social media, fine. If nobody in his life, friends or family, talked to him about it, fine. If nobody in Michigan made him aware of it, that's a misstep by the PR staff. But above all of it, once you're made aware of those comments, you have to give a better response. It's clear it wasn't a media trained answer, which means I think you got some truth. And the truth is, he does not view it as
the same.
The same, yeah. Like, I don't know how you read into that, John. Passive aggressive?
Yeah, I thought it was a very passive aggressive, almost. And I'm not going to sit there and say he went as far as an eye roll, but it was just a passive aggressive answer.
It's kind of an arrogant answer, I think. I think it was a bit of a my S doesn't stink. Oh, coach talked about benching me? Cool. I'm not going to get benched. I'm Bryce freaking Underwood. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Cool. Bryce, you played awful. You should know you should hold yourself to a higher standard.
You're the captain of the team.
Yeah, exactly. And it should be, hey, everybody on this team's got to fight for their job, myself included, which is basically what coach said. He could have just echoed that and said, and that includes me.
He included the coaches.
I need to play better on Saturday. I expect myself to play better. I'm preparing to play better on Saturday. I mean, these things shouldn't have to be said, but it's a much better answer than cool.
Cool. And then the follow-up. Cool.
A second, you want to? The reporter gave him a second chance. Like, hey, Bryce, let's try this one again. Do over. Rewind the tape. Try again.
Cool.
Still failed. Okay, great.
That's cool.
Ultimately, what matters is his response on the field more than his response yesterday.
If he goes out on Saturday and plays, I'm not expecting great, not expecting phenomenal, not expecting exceptional, just better.
Mm-hmm.
There's your answer.
It's just going to be an issue when we talk about struggling against Western Michigan. And it's not all about your offensive line. It's one read throws, bad decisions, putting the ball in harm's way, sloppy mechanics, footwork. That's the stuff that, look, we can blame the old coaching staff, but if we're blaming two different coaching staffs, at some point we're blaming the player. And that's ultimately what you want to see, is that Bryce takes some accountability and gets better. You don't want to have to thrust a true freshman into the fire right now.
Right. You want to hear that there's some self-awareness of, I didn't play well, I need to play better.
Yeah.
And we heard that from the coaching staff. Hey, you know, yes, there, it's not infinite in regards to anybody's position, including ours as coaches. Like, we need to be better as well. And then to not hear it echoed by really every single player, but that's your quarterback, that's your captain.
You guys in the ticket are the worst. They won the game, all caps. Yeah, and the quarterback played awful in the game.
Right, and you're going to play a better opponent this week.
Could you imagine your team wins and therefore, like, you played. So, like, this is a different way of looking at it. Imagine you win a game and your coach goes, we don't have to critique any of the film.
Well,
we do need to critique film.
Sometimes that's the concern when you win. And let's take away the fact that the offense played as poorly as it did all game long. But if there are, say you play well, but there's two turnovers and you still win the game, the concern is that you gloss over some of those issues, don't coach them up and don't address them as much as you would as if you had lost the game, and then it costs you a game down the road.
Well, that's my whole point. So when a text goes, you guys are, so Are the coaches the worst if they harp on the mistakes? No, that's what coaches do, and that's what we're going to do is talk about the performance. As you can imagine, plenty of texts coming in on Bryce's response to job security. That's cool. And a lot of people bringing up the money that he makes. Is it possible to separate it, or are those two things intertwined?
Anytime you're talking about Bryce Underwood, because of him committing to LSU, the big money offer that flipped him to Michigan, it's always that's going to always be a part of the conversation.
This is the problem with giving an 18-year-old $3 million a year to play quarterback in college. I don't think the problem is that we paid a quarterback. Like, Dante Moore's getting paid. I think he handles the situation better. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to fault college athletes for getting compensated what they're worth. I think ultimately it says a lot about the person, how they handle being paid.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the only one that would be comparison is how the former Tennessee quarterback, Iamaliava.
Sure.
Did I say that right?
Yeah, I think you nailed it.
Going to UCLA and thinking that, you know, hey, I'm not going to play in the spring game because I want more money. Mm-hmm. It's a different situation, but it's somewhat of the same context that we're talking about.
I mean, clearly money's a factor. What I'm saying is what you do with that money is ultimately a reflection of you as a person.
Money, like adversity, doesn't change your character. It reveals it.
There you go. You said it better than me.
Thanks, Coach. Well said.
Paid more than 95% of other college QBs. Lack of anything on the field is unacceptable. Another says Bryce wants the F out of Michigan. Keith and Gross Eel. Why? Who's going to pay him more? I don't know why he'd want out, unless he feels like he's not getting adequate coaching again.
So this is what the situation that you're going to have when every year everyone's a free agent is he may want out, and all it's going to it's like when you were a first round pick and nobody projected you were going to be a first round pick. You just need one coach to fall in love with you, one coach to look at all of the skills and get enamored with, you know, 6'5 and 235 pounds and runs and can, you know, he's got a strong arm.
Yeah.
Like it's only going to take one individual to fall in love with him to say, I got to have that and I can make that a Super Bowl. That player can lead me to a national championship.
You got to find someone that views Bryce Underwood the way that Tom Milliken views Baker Mayfield.
Yes, yes. Mayfield man crush.
He's upset back there.
Baker Mayfield, you're exaggerating something now. You're misrepresenting. I can start doing that too.
Ooh. Ooh. Set a bad precedent. Bryce sounds like...
No, we wait for the over-exaggerations to come from 2 to 6.
Bryce sounds like an arrogant...
You have sources on that?
Yeah, I have plenty. Trust me, I have plenty of sources that text me.
Imagine a world, though, where he does get benched after game two and Rico essentially called his shot through his people.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to be on one if that happens.
So be it.
Bryce sounds like an arrogant punk, needs to grow up. Michigan QB Bryce underwhelming reminds me of a stripper. $1 million body, 10 cent head.
Oh, wow.
Not where I thought that text was going. Woo! A few more.
Keep the lights down low. Heather's just shaking her head.
Is Bryce better than Anthony Richardson or Trey Lance?
So that Mark Ryan was the one that had the Anthony Richardson comp, right?
Well, those guys did something in college football.
Yeah.
Yeah. But from the, like, looks the part?
Well, Lance did for one game.
Right. Well, he did for one season and one game.
Underwood's an abomination. Hope he fails so hard. What a complete loser. The guy's response was pure Gen Z. I know it wasn't as mature as my parents were at 19, but these guys are way more immature than we were. And the texter who said Michigan won the game, no, they didn't. That's going to go on forever. If this is how he is after 2 years of University of Michigan, he must have been a knucklehead as a high school student. Bryce played really poorly, but what I heard was a kid trying to hold it together, not a kid thinking he was cool, like in Oxford. Well, let's listen to it again and maybe try to keep that in mind. Does this sound like someone who's trying to hold it together? I don't get that vibe from that. Like he's holding back what he really wants to say.
I mean, we all saw the performance, and it wasn't just him. It was the offensive line. It was a lot of things that did, a lot of people that did not perform well on Saturday.
But you know that's a leadership position. In addition to being a captain, it's right. just naturally quarterback's a leadership position. The attention turns to you. The bright lights, the microphones, how you handle your struggles is important. That is revealing of how you're going to lead this team is how
you're
handle.
Setting a tone for your teammates.
Yeah, and the tone is like, hey, you might lose your job. Yeah. How about I got a fire lit under my ass and I got to play hard
yeah.
and play better.
And there, as the interview went on, when asked questions, he did say, yeah, we need to play better. I want to play better. I want to do these things. In the moment, that's not what came across.
Right. Brian in Detroit. Brian, good to hear from you.
Let me get this straight. For the last 7-8 months, all I heard was this guy working extra hard, getting help all over, working harder than anybody, voted captain. His teammates love him. Now in the press conference, it's his character. Something is wrong. No, it's something wrong with guys like you talking, coming across like that, when all I heard was how great and a hard worker he was. The play on the field was horrible. But all I heard for the last 7 months, this guy's a hard worker, put in more film study, does everything that the coaching staff asks. Now a press conference, it comes down to his character. That don't sound crazy to you?
Well, I'll just speak for myself. I haven't done some eight-month, I don't know who you're listening to, that's saying, you know, Bryce is the hardest worker. Nor am I even questioning necessarily his work ethic.
All the information coming out of Ann Arbor was exactly what Brian is saying.
Okay, but let's say he works hard. He could still be a bad quarterback who works hard and doesn't take accountability for his performances.
Play, I'm talking about you made it seem like it's his character.
Well, I do his think if you don't take accountability, that is about your character, Brian. If you can't take accountability for your poor play, that is an issue.
Accountability is, are you putting in the work? Are you trying to improve? That's the accountability. Not
what you say matters too when you're a leader. What you say matters when you're a leader.
Yeah, but you won't ignore what's been coming out about this kid for the last 7 months.
I'm basing on what I'm seeing right now. I don't care what they said in April, May, June, and July. I don't really give a damn about what people said out of Ann Arbor a month ago or 2 months ago. I didn't say anything. I don't need to be wrong.
Jim, you want to ignore that this kid has put in the work. Everybody, the coaches, the players, everybody says this kid is a hard worker and he tries to improve. You want to take 5 minutes in a press conference and make it seem like he's a problem.
I'm telling as a quarterback, the way he's playing is a problem. The way he addressed the media and addressed his play was not good enough.
You said his character. You talked about the man's character.
What are we talking about?
If you go bring up the character, what do you mean, Jim? Everybody in Ann Arbor talk about how great this kid is, how hard he worked. You want to take 5 minutes and act like the guy's a bum. His play on the field, he's playing bad, but his character, that's not – people not saying that about the man's character. People saying this guy works hard to improve. Don't tell me – don't, Jim, you don't want nobody to take 5 minutes out your life and tell you – you have a problem when you've been putting in the hard work for the last 7 and 8 months. John just said it to you. All he's been hearing is how great this guy has been in working hard and trying to improve. But you and a whole lot of people and those clowns texting in want to make it seem like this kid is a problem.
Brian, let me ask
bad on the field.
But you
let me ask you this, Brian.
Hold on.
Could the answer have been better? Could the body language have been better? Did you see it?
No, I just heard it. Yes, it could have been better. But when you put a 19, 20, 20-year-old kid up there, you don't know what they're going to say. But what are they doing off the field? What are they doing outside of the press conference, John? Is he working hard? Is he putting in the work? Is he putting in the extra time? Talk about that. Don't tell me nobody wants.
This is just such a weird hill for you to die on. Like, I don't think we ever do this with any other athletes and go, it's okay that they stink and that they put their foot in their mouth, but they tried hard in practice.
I just said the guy playing bad.
Right. No, I know. But who gives a rat's at? No, I don't care if he's trying hard away from the facility or at the facility. When has that ever been the standard, Brian, that he's trying hard? He needs to try
harder, because as physically gifted as he is and as many hours as you're claiming he's putting in, he can't beat Western Michigan unless they add a second at the end of the game. What are we talking about? He's trying hard. When has that ever been the standard?
Can I help?
Yes.
So this comes down to, you can put in all the effort you want, but if the game speed is too fast for you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't translate. That's exactly what's happening here. He doesn't look one lick better than last year because the game is too fast and he cannot process what's happening on the field.
Right, and you can put on all the work. You're going to be judged ultimately on 12 tests a year in the regular season. And he didn't pass the test. Offensive line didn't pass the test. Nobody passed the test.
It wasn't as bad, but in some ways, it's like Shea Patterson just was what he was on the field, okay? No matter what. And I'm not even going to say throw Bryce under the bus that he worked as hard as Shea, because I heard things that Shea didn't work hard at time, that he liked being on the golf course instead, okay? So, look, the bottom line here is, if you want to believe the stupid preseason rhetoric and freeping Detroit news headlines, the hype and all the crap coming out of Ann Arbor, you can. You can go back to the spring game. We've been doing this game all week long. You can take comments from a former player from Whittingham that said Bryce did not look good and the backup looked better in the spring game, right? When anything is talked about when this guy's on the field, it sucks.
All right, Gator.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Michigan State hosting Eastern tomorrow. Michigan hosting Oklahoma. We'll do them chronologically. People are obviously counting Michigan out. We know how this works. You play like that in week one and undermines any confidence that fans and Vegas had in this Michigan football team. Oklahoma rolled over UTEP. Went back and watched last year's game again, and it was pretty much all Sooners. And Brent Venables is an elite defensive mind, and he's going to throw the kitchen sink at Bryce Underwood, as you would expect. My guess is they'll gang up against the run and see if Bryce can beat him. The question is, what does Jason Beck, the offensive coordinator, have in his bag of tricks? I find it really, really interesting that Beck's offense at previous stops, he's had a top five passing offense and a top five rushing offense, which tells me you should be able to take whatever skill set you're presented with and get the most out of it. Is it a example of just a terrible day at the office last week, or is there some growing pains that's coming with putting this new offense in, or do they just not have the guys, right? I mean, it may be Bryce, it may be other things, but you know, we'll find out as this season goes on. One thing that's opening up the path for victory for Michigan is last year going into that game against Oklahoma, there was real question about their young left tackle, Fasusi, and he turned out to be really good and now is considered one of the best in the country. There is some reporting that he may not play in this game. Michaela, the starting center, he might not play in this game, and it would be a true freshman who started last week for them playing center. And Foje, who's played on the right side of their offensive line, he may not play on this game. They all might be out. It's going to be important to watch the warmups to see who is going for them and who is not. If one part of Michigan's team stood out, it was the defensive line, and they're going to have to corral John Mateer. Mateer was unreal last year, and I think he had 20 carries against Michigan, scored a couple of touchdowns. What was Mateer's issues last year? It was turnovers. He threw 11 interceptions, but he only fumbled twice. And when Michigan talked this week about defense, when their coaches talked this week about defense, they talked about not creating enough turnovers. And that's the chop, right? When you have a chance to sack the quarterback, you chop his arm, you get that ball out. And they didn't do enough of that. And things like that were points of emphasis this week. They've got to corral Mateer, and they've got to get the football out. And maybe pressure will force interceptions, force bad throws. I feel like for Michigan to win this game, the defense is going to have to help out the offense. And then the easy one is, hey, how about not get penalized 9 times, right? Don't turn it over. Don't penalize. Don't help Oklahoma beat you. If they button those things up, I think there's a path to victory there. And college football is great, right? Because one of the things that makes college football great is week to week, you almost never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, look, there's always a path to victory. I don't think it's a great path. I think it's perilous. I think you got to watch out for all the trapdoors and everything else that's in your way. But this is only – Vegas has set this at a 5-point spread right now. So I find that to be interesting, that Oklahoma is only favored by 5 after what happened last week with the – just nothing to show for it offensively for Michigan. I suspect Michigan's going to be better this week when it comes to the offense, that maybe they can grind things out, stick to a running game that tries to wear down the defense of Oklahoma. But Oklahoma's, they've changed their roster around too. They've added a couple of transfer wide receivers that had some good value last year in previous stops. They've added transfers to the offensive line, as you mentioned.
Satania's elite.
And Satania's the holdover. So and so is Mateer, and obviously those guys are really clicking. I do think Oklahoma's going to win this game, and probably by more than just a touchdown, but I don't think it's going to be some epic blowout that maybe some people are thinking because of what they saw last week. I think last week is as disturbing a start as you can expect from Michigan, but I don't think Bryce Underwood was as bad as everybody thought that he was last week. The result was the result. I mean, they did win the game. I mean, that's count as a W. And his last couple passes on that drive were, I mean, he hits the Hail Mary for the touchdown, and the other pass he threw as well was very impressive down the middle of the field when they had to have it and had to have a big chunk. They got the big chunk. So I think they're going to be more competitive this week, but I just think Oklahoma's got too much.
What do you got for Michigan State, Eastern Michigan, as you preview that one?
Well, I mean, this brings in former quarterback Noah Kim, who had played at Coastal Carolina, and then obviously at Eastern Michigan the last couple of years. He had a little bit of playing time with the Spartans, but not that familiarity should mean anything. This is a different Michigan State team. Under Pat Fitzgerald, all the transfers and the turnover in the roster, it's a massively different team. I think that when you look at Eastern splitting their first two games 1-1, Michigan State should, there's a reason they're favored by 17.5 points as it stands right now. Michigan State needs to build off of what they did last week. They can, they, their trajectory needs to be going up each week. And unfortunately, they got, you know, Notre Dame next week, which is going to be really tough. As long as they don't focus on what's ahead next week with a challenge at a night game in South Bend, as long as they stay focused on tomorrow, they should be fine. Milivojevic at quarterback is, I think he's a really solid quarterback. I'm impressed by how he handled things last week. He took what was there and threw the ball accurately. The connection with Rodney Bullard is that's nice to see, because Bullard didn't have a whole lot of practice time with his team. And yet that looks like a really nice connection. I'm curious to see how they're able to do with Cam Edwards running the football this week. If the weather's not supposed to be ultra humid like it was last week and causing the cramps, is he going to be able to get off on the right foot and maybe get into the 100-yard territory in the ground? And that sets everything else up for Michigan State. If they're able to run the ball, then they can control this game.
All right, there you go. Michigan State and Michigan both in action tomorrow as a college football schedule. And then we got the doozy at night, Texas and Ohio State. Woo. And, boy, I'm fired up for that one.
That's going to be fun.
Yep. Yep.
Want to come over and watch it?
I'm considering some options. I can put that on the – in the.
Oh, Gator, how's it feel? I just put the we'll see.
It's under the we'll see category.
Yeah. Yeah. And then options, too.
Options, yeah.
Some, where do you rank in those options?
I think I'm down the list.
He's about to find out.
Yeah, I think I'm down the list on those options.
Yeah, probably not.
You're
yeah.
more welcome to invite the boy over, too, you know?
Well, that would be fun. Good.
Does that move up the options at all?
He would love that. The kids think very highly of Uncle Gator, and they think that the Gator defends them all the time.
Get a fire pit going, you know.
Now you're talking for Doug. Now you're talking.
Just saying. Trying to move up that list.
Yeah, fire pits help. All right, so coming up next hour, we'll have our picks at 1:38.
Bushlight Apple.
You got some?
I still have a few.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's a positive for the fall. Picks at 1:38. Another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That is coming up next. And I've got a proposal for you, Gator. We'll get to that next on 97.1. We'll get to some Michigan and Michigan State stuff coming up as we move in on another weekend of college football. Okay, little experiment here. I want to know what you would rather do. Lions Bills at Cosm. A week from tonight in the Dome, $605. Okay? $605. Right now, I just did a quick Google search. Actually, I did Travelocity search. I can fly round trip from Detroit to Los Angeles on Frontier for $436. Then go to Cosm, LA and watch Lions Bills for $41. It is cheaper to fly to Los Angeles round trip, go to Lions Bills, watch it at Cosm in the Dome in LA, and fly back.
Is it really only $400 and something to fly round trip to LA?
That is correct. 436. Wow. Well, I mean, it's the cheapest flight.
Yeah, but
it's
cheap.
It would be 10:37 a.m. on Wednesday and 4:36 select. And return the next day at 2:28, or return Friday at 2:28, and then go to Cosm LA for $41. Now you'd have to get hotels and food and all that.
Sounds like should we talk to Jimmy?
Jimmy, you know, it feels like another Carson Anderson adventure.
I think so.
We could have, so we'd have to leave early in the day. We could just have Mike and Rico do 8 hours.
Right. Right. Yeah, that would work.
Yep. And then Friday we'd miss the show coming back, so they could do 8 hours then too. I'm sure they'd do us that favor.
Yeah. No worries.
Team guys. Let's do it. Fly to LA and watch Cosm in the Dome. You down?
Yes.
Yeah.
I am.
Okay. So Michigan plays Oklahoma on Saturday. Michigan State plays Eastern Michigan on Saturday. We haven't got much of your thoughts on the Spartans in the opener and what you're looking forward to improve week to week. I've got a list for Michigan that isn't short, but What would you like to see for Spartans?
Well, first of all, what I liked in the first week in the opener, I liked that they started strong. I thought the running game looked good right off the bat. Thought they did a nice job. The quarterback play from Milivojevic was I thought really good, a high level. I thought he played at a very, very high level. Was very accurate. Bullard at receiver did a great job to get him back in the mix. But the problem with Michigan State in that game was that they weren't finishing drives, and they settled for field goals, and then you've got ended up with five field goals on the day, which obviously accounts for 15 points, which was it fortunately made the difference in the game. But they needed to finish drives with touchdowns, not field goals. That, to me, is going to be the big step moving forward this week against Eastern, is don't settle for the field goal. Get the touchdown. Finish those drives. Finish those plays. And a hot, humid night Friday night in East Lansing, did it take its toll on Michigan State in that game? Maybe a little bit it did. You could tell that Cam Edwards was in trouble a little bit with the cramps and the cramping and in and out of the lineup in the second half. And that's going to, once you're in and out, it's just going to affect you. You know, you're not going to be able to give that 100% like you expect to. But I thought State played well enough in that first game that it's a good base point. All right, now you need to improve from week to week. There are certainly areas they can improve on the offensive line. They didn't look like this well-oiled machine yet, but first week of the season, I wouldn't expect that. Can they be better in the second week against Eastern? I think they can. I think that is, in the grand scheme of things, is Toledo a better team than Eastern Michigan is? Probably. But I like where the Spartans are at right now, because it's, in a way, that game against Toledo was not the perfect game for them, because it obviously didn't thump them, but it was good in a standpoint that they know that they have to improve, and it's like it's all on film. Like, okay, guys, we won the game, which is most important. We got down in the fourth quarter. We were trailing in the fourth quarter and came back and won that game by double digits. That's all good. Defense, there were a lot to be happy with the defense, and a lot to work on with the defense. The secondary has got to cover better. We need to get more pressure on the quarterback. Offensive line has got to be stronger. They've got to be, you know, stronger going into the second half and opening up bigger holes so our running game can take over and dominate the game. Can these things happen in week two against their former teammate, Noah Kim, and the Fighting team from Eastern Michigan? We will see, but I like their chances to go 2-0.
The Noah Kim storyline is the first of three storylines of Spartans facing old quarterbacks. And you know, you get to the point where a couple of years removed, nobody knows anybody anyway. It's not like his entire class that he came in with and not everybody stays on rosters anymore. But the fact is, Toledo's the kind of team, and I said it about Western Michigan, and nobody paid attention, nobody cared, and nobody cares still, that can beat you. If you don't show up, they can beat you. And, you know, Toledo had a lot of unknowns. First year coach bringing players from the FCS level at Mercer. Now it's, you know, an Eastern Michigan team that, you know, was pretty impressive in week one, spent some time in first place in the Mid-American Conference before dropping that game to San Jose State. Is it a bigger challenge? Time will tell, I guess. But bottom line is there's stuff to work on for Michigan State. The one thing I'd say that maybe was different, you tell me if I'm wrong. Last year when the Spartans started to take on water, they couldn't stop. Like it just right. went south in a hurry. This team was trailing in the fourth quarter and found a way to not lose the game. They responded.
Yeah, they did respond. That's why I thought it was important in that fourth quarter. You get down, even it was, you know, by the slimmest of margins, but you come back and you responded. You responded not only with your offense, but you responded with your defense too. So that was important. You know, to see somebody emerge in the kicking game was exciting to see. You know, drilling that kick from beyond 50, and there was no questioning the leg on that. Was it going to stay accurate? It did. That all bodes well for him. It was a nice win for the Spartans. It wasn't a great win. Plenty to work on, but I think that's the positive that comes out of it, is that you know you've got stuff to work on and you'll still come out of it 1-0.
Okay, so now Michigan. Does Michigan have a chance to completely turn the script and go from a team that nobody thought would have a problem to a team that nobody thinks can win to winning that game? There are so many examples in history of this happening again, or happening before. I've cited the 1980 Michigan team that lost, won their opener 17, maybe it was 79. They won their opener, that was 80. Won their opener, but against vintage 0-11 Northwestern type of team. They won it 17-10. They lost their next two games, ran the table, won the Rose Bowl. The next year, Michigan entered the season number one in the country. They opened at Wisconsin and lost 21-14. The next week, number one Notre Dame came to Ann Arbor. And Michigan flipped the script and beat Notre Dame soundly, 25-7. There's Notre Dame from 2 years ago that lost to Northern Illinois early in the season, ended up playing for the national championship. College football and college football players are not chess pieces. They probably have more variability week to week than many other sports. And what makes the sport great and fun, big house, momentum, need a fast start, all those cliches, and need better play and a variety of factors. They call a team meeting Sunday. They really get into each other about the fact that they didn't work and play nearly hard enough. I'm going to stick by the fact that I still think this can be a good offensive line that struggled in game one. And is it explainable? No. Do I think this game has potential to be closer than people think? Of course. But the fact they need their defense to be legit. The defense was pretty good against Western Michigan. Much bigger challenge this week. Watching Mateer maestro that offense last year. I watched the last year's game again last night. He is so good with the football, knowing where to go with the football. He had a great game in that game. He wasn't always that good, but he's another year older, and chances are he is going to be better. And he's a great template as a dual threat guy for what Bryce Underwood could be. And Bryce Underwood's got to make better decisions in the throw game and the run game. But they got to get that run game going, and they got to get Bryce on the edges and play to his strengths, maybe narrow the playbook a little bit. But I think, you know, I'll go into the game by the time the game works. Every week, by the time Saturday rolls around, I'm like, they got a chance. But part of that is being in the building and realizing that they fully believe they have a chance.
Yeah. I mean, last week was a tough week. I don't know if it was just reality hitting that, hey, wait a minute, they're not as good as they think they are. Or do they just take it for granted? Or was it just a bad day at the office? Won't know until a few games into the season.
Or do they suck?
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Is that part of it too? Oklahoma probably feeling pretty confident about their chances going into this week, but if they're smart, they don't take them for granted because you're coming to a place that is, you know, notorious for putting 110,000 people in the stands, and it's going to be a great day for it. And obviously, Michigan is chomping at the bit to get back at it. They want another chance to redeem what happened last week because it just wasn't good enough. And you're right, the running game has got to be better, and they've got the horses for it, including the quarterback, than getting running. For me, I would say that the key is moving the sticks. Do that, because they sure didn't do enough of it against Western. You know, too many whatever three and outs or five and outs, whatever it was. They have to have sustained drives and have many of them, because you're going to want to keep Oklahoma off the field because they are really explosive offensively. I mean,
Satania is incredible. Their tight end's amazing.
The fact that Mateer threw for 225 yards on only 11 completions tells you that these guys can make plays happen after the catch. And it's a dangerous football team. They're really, really talented at Oklahoma. And I don't know if this is going to be a complete blowout by Oklahoma. I tend to think it's going to be closer, but I do think Michigan's going to end up 1-1 after this.
So the other thing that Michigan can't do, they did in week one, is don't undermine your own drives with penalties.
Can't do that.
I mean, it is the crazy thing is Michigan was one of the least penalized teams in the country. And this is one of the things I was thinking about. Well, they were one of the least penalized teams a year ago. And typically, Kyle Whittingham teams don't get penalized a ton. When I see a bunch of penalties, that tells me they really aren't that comfortable yet in what they're trying to do. Hopefully, each week they get more and more comfortable, less thinking, and more just playing as things come instinctual. 248-539-9797. And Bryce Underwood, no more holding penalties. I've never seen that before. A quarterback get flagged for holding. Right? I got an interesting question out there from one of our listeners on Twitter. We'll get to that coming up today at 1:20. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1.
We're going to get to the people. Enrico still can't get over. I can compartmentalize things. My issue with what Bryce is presenting at the podium or with how he acts off the field, and then the way he plays on the field, man, I can put that separately. That has nothing to do with Saturday. Saturday's the last stand at the OK Corral. I truly believe that in my heart. And whatever Michigan has to offer, Oklahoma's going to get it. Like, I mean, this is a scared, endangered animal backed into a corner. And I know sports, man.
No. And if Michigan comes out prepared and even scripted the way they did the first drive, I could easily see that happening. It's just after the emotions wear off and after the adrenaline dies down, then what's next? If they're up 14-0, then yeah, at that point, Bryce is going to put the cape on and he's going to fly around the big house.
Well, here's what I think they're going to do to simplify things for Bryce, because he can't read defenses, which again, that's a classroom issue. That's a film stuff.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more, I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Gear from MLBShop.com helps you show everyone what team you're with before you even say a word. So people start asking you things locals and fans know, like,
you with the crew?
You from the D?
Where'd you go to high school?
Your dad put you in brown and gold?
You see skins, girl?
You get your Dodger dog?
Siempre 305?
You see Big Dumper 60?
Do you see him put Vladdy in the jacket?
How about 47?
You see Judges 62?
Shohei's 50-50.
The gear says it all.
Cut from the city. Go to MLBShop.com.
MLB trademarks used with permission.
Study issue. I think they got to run him. And I mean run him a lot. And by running him and by activating a real read option, right? Like, I always view Michigan's read option game where the faucet is off, that the read is actually fake because Bryce never keeps it while the DN crashes down. If they run him, it will make the defense pause. And that will open up his first read, which he can actually well, I'd hope he could execute the first read. I just, Rico, I might look like the dumbest human being on earth, and that's fine. Unlike some of these snowflakes, I don't get offended by that.
It's not about looking dumb. I would say this, that could work, except for
Brent Venables is a mad scientist.
You couldn't run the ball against Western's defense.
Mistakes were made. I'm not accepting that they're that bad. I can't after 1 week. And that's why
I was all set to see what Savion and Marshall, like, I thought they had the running game. I'm like, they're going to run Western to death.
I'm giving them one more shot.
And they were less than 3 yards a carry.
Look, we ordered takeout. It didn't go well, but the reviews are good. We're going to give it one more shot. You
probably need to avoid the gas station sushi.
Okay. I'm gonna go to Al, 97.1. Al, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? You guys are the greatest.
Oh, thank you. What's going on, brother?
Man, I am so tired of what I call the racial reach, where everything like that validates what he says. Like the early caller who just came up with the crap with y'all. Like, he compared Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson even wasn't paid to make decisions. Everything was produced. Everything was written. And he also had the ability to just retake where he messed up. That's not football.
No, no. And Michael Jackson was like 10. This guy is 19 and was handed $12 million to represent the university on and off the field. And I think he's failing at both because his off-field stuff, no, it's not illegal. I'm not telling you he's a bad kid. I'm just telling you he says a lot of dumb stuff.
And to your point, Mike, let's compare him to 20-year-old Mike. 20-year-old Mike was turning in damn off the wall. So the performance doesn't even match up with that horrible comparison there.
No, I know. It's crazy. Look, it's one of these deals. And here's the beauty of this, Al. And I've said this, and it doesn't matter if callers want to jump our ass or whether they want to have a conversation. I'm not telling anyone to feel the way I feel. But unlike a lot of people in this line of work, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't like the state of the sport. I don't respect most of the players. I don't think they're actually attaining a real college degree. And I get tired of the nonsense where they want all the joys of being an adult without the responsibilities.
Exactly, Mike. But when you give them logic, they need an eject button or an ejector seat.
Well, they need
to talk. When they're never equipped for the conversation, as you say, you got to throw...
No, they got to have those 3x5s.
Equal matter at the wall and see if it sticks.
That's right. No, that's the talking points, and that's why we had some fun designing it that way.
Yeah, because Al, I think they got uncomfortable because they questioned what he did on the field and in the press conference. And at that point, yeah, he did say dumb things.
Well, that's where they got uncomfortable because, and I think you said it best, if you want to offer special protections, that's a you thing. But I don't have to go along with that. Look, I don't care if Bryce Underwood was white, black, blue, turquoise, Italian, Chinese. I don't care. Dumb is dumb. You say dumb things, I say you're dumb. You do dumb crap, I say it's dumb. It doesn't go beyond that. I don't know. Maybe the guy is a space scientist. But bottom line, when they're putting him at the podium or when he is left to his own devices, I don't think he's representing Michigan like a captain. I don't need my captain talking about belt to ass. I don't need my captain devaluing the Ohio State game. I don't need my captain saying, you've never seen some ish like this. I also don't like my captain disrespecting the people who bled before him by saying, I'll be the greatest. Son, you haven't completed a pass. I don't like any of it.
And when you have to sit there and interpret what the person says, maybe now you're kind of reaching for straws because he said what he said. He didn't need any interpretation.
No, his comment yesterday was the straw that broke the camel's back to me because it shows he hasn't learned a damn thing. Him brooding around the field on Saturday night, you want to chalk that up to emotion? Fine, we'll live in that world. That podium, he knew that question was coming, and he chose that response. That's an absurdity. And I'd say the same damn thing if he wore green and white, and you know in the pit of your bellies I would. So don't play that Sparty crap. I don't even like my own school.
You just said that the team had no talent. So, yeah.
Sparty!
Yeah, I mean, you literally just said the team had no talent. Hey, Mike, okay, semantics. One, talent.
Talent.
It starts with one.
What is that, a Chinese proverb?
No.
A thousand-yard journey starts with the first step. It's great. Making the condom bowl starts with one good player. Amen. All right.
Last year, you didn't even have a condom.
Oh, there's a Mel Tucker joke in there somewhere. All right, 97-1. All right, let me sell you this pen. So, this is really an exercise in compartmentalization. Everything we've seen so far is suggestive that none of the things I'm about to say will be true. I know that. Everything I have said and watched about Bryce Underwood is completely different from what I'm offering you here. So, take some notes, and then let's get into it. Because Lions and Saints, I totally understand someone saying the Saints are a bigger danger to the Lions than Michigan is to Oklahoma. The NFL, damn near 60% of the games are one-score games. The league is designed on parity. There's a salary cap. There's a CBA roster constriction that just allows for the product to be rooted in fourth quarter, one score. And look, for people who want to do the laughy ha-ha stuff, and it's the same, go look at the Saints the last 6 weeks of last year. Go look at Kellen Moore as an offensive mind. Shuck the quarterback, Olave, Juwan Johnson, some of the weaponry, Travis Etienne. Look, you can laugh and joke.
Achan, apparently, is how he wants to be pronounced now.
Like Miami's running back?
Yes.
You're being for real?
No, yeah, 100%.
Well, I'm not doing that. It's ATM.
Yeah.
So here's
can't do that 6 years in.
Yeah, like what are we talking about? I met a world peace. No, you're not. You're on our test.
Just saying for people that watch the game this weekend, if you hear them say Achan, apparently that's how he wants it pronounced.
The more relevant is that the Creole point? Way of saying it, I guess.
The more relevant point is they're going to throw the ball. I quit. I'm done. I didn't mean to
cut you off.
This is a bleep show. So look, the Saints are going to throw the ball 650 times this year. So F around and find out. You better be ready and better be buttoned up on that back end.
That's your weakness.
Let me give you the Michigan part. So, A, we all watch what we watched, right? I think we all consider it they lost to Western Michigan. Mm-hmm. Fine. Whatever. It was the worst performance of week one. Well, what's happened all week? Well, doorknobs like us and anyone with a brain has shredded Michigan. They have made fun of them. All of America's rooting against them because of how they were let off the hook. And all week, who's been slandered the most? Bryce Underwood. Now, I'm wondering if an ex-athlete over here at a high level is going to agree with this. I think the most dangerous time to face a team is when Mother Earth is both against them. You've been written off. You've been made fun of. I mean, they've been tarred and feathered here. It's been embarrassing. They're at home. They've had to sit there all week and be told what POSs they are. And Bryce has had to sit there. You're the worst quarterback in history. You make DJ Lagway blush. This is an embarrassment. Whatever the best version of Michigan is, and maybe it's not much. Maybe Oklahoma will just do the business. But whatever they have, you're getting it this week. There's no world it looks like last week. None. I refuse to accept that they're that. Now, they may not be good. I know what you're going to say. And I'm with you. I don't think they're a playoff team by any means. But do we really believe there's some 3-9 car wreck? Do we really believe that Bryce Underwood is truly the worst quarterback in America? You know, like these things that we're talking about. Now, all I'll say is they don't have a bad defense. What happens, and I know TJ will agree with this, leave any defense in America out there, 3.3 yards a carry like a service academy, and you know what happens. You get worn out because Michigan's offense was so bad. Those guys would get to the sideline, hold Western to a field goal. They wouldn't even be able to get their first sip of Gatorade. And it's like, you're back. You get tired. You get worn out. I just believe that we've seen the wounded animal backed into a corner. I'm giving Michigan one shot because here's what's on the line. I think Whittingham's grace period is completely on the line. You cannot start 0-2 at Michigan. And they are. Jeff Sagarin, who is part of that playoff process, already has marked that as a loss. And for Bryce Underwood, it's your career. Mm-hmm. If he goes out and shows his ass, he's not starting against UTEP next week. So I'm giving him one shot.
Oh, name your source on that.
I'll tell you all fair.
I will say this, John.
But obviously, and they, Rico, like they started in the official rank standings. They're 1-0. Mm-hmm. We all know what you're talking about, Mike, but it's pretty damning when you drop out of the top 20.
12 spots.
Completely out of the top 25. So
I know.
Here's a good point.
Here's what I have to say. As far as Michigan goes, you made some great points to the senator from New York. But I will ask you this.
Go ahead.
What was it about Western Michigan that was so great? Because it wasn't like Western played fluky football. They dominated the game. The fluky play was on Michigan's behalf.
Yeah.
So if they're that bad, like I do think that maybe there's just something that's just a team that they are, because Western didn't do anything special. Western didn't come out and run some weird offense. They didn't blitz nonstop. They just beat you at your own game. And now I'm looking at an upgrade in defense, because Michigan's defense, I said the front seven looked awesome. They got worn down. That's I will agree with you there. Oklahoma's bringing a better defense.
I know.
In Western Michigan.
And Brent Venables disguises coverages as good or better than
a lot
any.
Better defense.
I know. Look.
But then I look at the Saints.
I'm willing to look stupid. I don't have any problem with people calling and call me stupid. I've seen this movie before, and here's the last piece. You can laugh. Look at where the number's going.
Yeah.
That number's down to 4.5 right now.
Yeah.
And I understand that.
It started as Michigan, a point favored. And a half, and then it went up to Oklahoma. It swung like a whole touchdown.
Across
now it's kind
bridge.
Of coming back to more of a field goal type game. But I'm at the point now where I don't want to overcomplicate it, and I just want to trust what my eyes tell me.
And that's
which
fair.
And I got to be careful with semantics. I don't want to go through what you went through last.
Oh, I don't
yesterday
care.
Where
that's all weak sauce.
Bryce Underwood looks to me like he's an immature quarterback, and he's not making adjustments. He's not bringing in the information. You can, especially college football, it's very simple to early in the game figure out what the opponent. And figure out what the opposing defensive coordinator, how they're trying to attack you. And I just do not find any situations, not only, you know, last week's game, but going back to last year, where you're making adjustments and you're saying, okay, I know they're going to do this. I can really start to mess with the defense a little bit and change some things. But there's just, whether it's the press conferences, and look, I don't put a ton of stock into that. I guarantee Kyle Whittingham, the type of coach that he is, would not have gone up there to the press conference and the podium to say, and I think it got lost in the shuffle where it looked worse when he said our quarterback's job is not set in stone or not infinite. He did mention pretty much everybody on the team. Everybody has to get better. Nobody on this team has a roster spot where they can go out there and play terrible and they're our starter next week. But when you talk about the quarterback, obviously that's going to be very heavily amplified. But I doubt that Kyle Whittingham said that in front of the media without having a conversation with your players. That's just, he doesn't strike me as that type of coach. But Bryce's reaction to it, okay, it's cool. Some things that happened during the game, like he throws this, you know, out route to one of his slot receivers against cover two coverage, which is it's a hospital ball.
Right, it's an automatic no-no.
You're going to get the guy's head ripped off, which happened on that play. The corner kind of baited him. He threw the out route. He came up and smoked. I can't remember which wide receiver was.
Smiling ear to ear.
And he's just up there like grinning like, oh, cool, man. Like, oh, what a – like it's plays like that where I'm just like, what – like, ugh. It's frustrating to watch. And I think that I'm just at the point now where if Bryce comes out this weekend, I'm not writing the kid off. He is a tremendous athlete. He has tremendous skills to play the quarterback position, but from the sample that I've seen over the past year and last week against Western Michigan, I can't be one of these fans that just keeps living on hope.
I know this
is going to be the
you week. Understand what I'm doing though.
It can happen, but
I'm trying to give them enough credit to say that these players have enough personal pride to know last week was an abomination. Here's the last piece.
Yeah, but I think at some point you just are what you are.
Okay, right? And this week
to me, that's where I'm at.
And this
Bryce.
Is that week. And I understand what'll happen. If they lose, I'll get made fun of. I don't care. You can't do this job and care. The one piece I'll say, and then you two can tell me I'm an idiot with this. I think they're gonna run him a lot. Because the only way, since he can't process, he doesn't have the acumen for the position right now. He can't process fast enough. The whole point is, how do I slow the game down? Read option, mesh point. Make the defense
RPOs,
and that's but it has to be live. Meaning, if the DN crashes, I have to pull that ball and go.
So you're turning him into Denard Robbins?
No, stop with the straw man.
I am asking the question.
No, I am saying there's a healthy middle ground that if you go back and watch the tape, those RPOs are not live because he never keeps it.
You know how many Michigan fans would actually die for Denard Robinson to be the quarterback right now?
I don't.
I know you said that as like, oh, so you just turn him into a running quarterback?
No,
like,
I mean, because,
yeah, I'm cool with that.
Or better yet, like when Alex Orgy was in the game, you knew it was a run. He was not going to pass. It was going to be run.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, are you saying that?
I'm saying I'm saying 8 to 10 design quarterback runs to allow for 8 to 10 hard play action or mesh point pass plays that simplify his windows.
I got a lot of these responses last week, and I know we got a break, but people saying, "Oh, it was a simple game plan. Oh, they didn't show anybody else." I'm like, if that's Bryce Underwood with a simple game plan, I don't really know if I want to see him. With a more advanced game plan.
Yeah,
I'm right? That's kind of where I'm at. Just, you can't even make the simple play simple.
Notice I'm not arguing either of you. I know troubling. I'm on an island. I'm just trying to defend my rationale.
It's okay to be on an island.
I'm saying.
Cookies with you.
But I have reasons. And look, maybe it all goes bleeps up. And it's, 27-10 Oklahoma and it's non-competitive. I've just seen the movie before. I don't know why the number's 4.5. I'll buy them one time. They're going to play. Like, this has got 21-17 written all over it. A gross, low-scoring, material fumble in the red zone. Michigan will crack one huge run. The game is compressed. They got to slow this thing down. I don't know. Hey, guys, you agree, disagree? You live out there? What is it? You escape Western and all of a sudden you crawl back in your little rat holes? 248-539-9797.
I'll tell you why I think the Lions next. And the Saints next.
97.1.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, what if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.